according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. I know I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are truly thankful to partner with brothers and sisters around the world. But right now, Father, as I communicate to my brothers and sisters here in America and on the internet, I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand the truth of your word regarding victory over fear. Bless us. And if there's one watching that is not saved, may they find Christ today as their Savior. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Fear is an interesting thing. Fear in Webster's is defined as the passion of our nature, which excites us to provide for our own security, especially when there is the approach of evil. It's also referred to as a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or apprehension of impending danger. On all of us face fears. All of us have them. All of us, the modern psychology says America is plagued with fears. You know, they've actually categorized them and given them names. They have one for almost every letter of the alphabet. The first one I could find was acrophobia, the fear of heights. And so you got A to Z, zoophobia, which is the fear of animals. So when you put acrophobia, the fear of heights, together with the zoophobia, the fear of animals, I think it's the fear of mountain goats is really what that is. And but agoraphobia, which is the fear of wide open spaces. And if you have agoraphobia, you cannot live somewhere between the Appalachians and the Rockies, because there ain't nothing out there but wide open spaces. And there's anthropophobia, the fear of man, and many people have that today. The Bible even told us in Proverbs 29 and verse 25 that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And of course, maybe many of you have claustrophobia, the fear of enclosed spaces, such as being stuck on an elevator or in a hole. There's ergophobia, which is the fear of work. And I've met a lot of people like that. I actually was talking to a person. I said, do you have that? Are you afraid of work? And he said, no, I can lay down next to work and sleep all day if I want to. And then there's neophobia, the fear of new things. And many churches in America have this phobia. They're afraid of new things. And they always present with this symptoms. We have never done it that way before. And that's how you know they're suffering from neophobia. There's pathophobia, the fear of catching a disease. You may know it as germophobia or people as germophobes. And I think of the germophobes in my life who are now saying to themselves, see, now who's crazy? You know, as we're all following their lifestyle. You know, with all the things we're afraid of and all the things that are scary in this world, God said he did not give us the spirit of fear. And I find people throughout my ministry where even believers who are limited by fear, they're paralyzed by fear, they're intimidated by their fears. They have fear of what they're going to face at work today. They're fearful of raising their children. They're fearful of the world around them. And the devil has a way of giving us a spirit of bondage because of our fears. Now, not all fears is bad. Some fears are actually good. The other definition of fear is reverence and respect or due regard. You've heard of this in Romans 13 where it says that we're to render therefore to all who is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. The Bible actually says a couple of times in the book of Psalms that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom begins with respect of God and for who God is. Not all fear is bad. I tell my kids not to play with rattlesnakes. They ought to be afraid of rattlesnakes. And they need to look both ways when crossing the street. And sometimes you need a healthy, self-preserving fear. You know, there's two categories of people in the Bible. The Bible refers to them as the quick and the dead. And if you're crossing streets in Alexandria, you're either quick or you're dead. And so I'm not saying that being afraid or having some fear of things is bad, but living a life afraid is not what God had intended. I call that unhealthy fear, fear that limits you, that binds you, that hems you in, that makes you live in such a way that you are not productive for God. Fear is a natural consequence of sin. We've seen that in the Bible in Genesis 3 with Adam and Cain. And we also see it in Proverbs 28. One of the verses Mrs. Mix and I have memorized and we use many times is that the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, fear is not just a natural consequence of sin. It can come as a punishment. In Deuteronomy 28, and verse 25 and verse 28 of that chapter, what you find is God said, if you sin against me, if you worship other gods, I will let fear take you. You know, the good thing about fear is the fear of God delivers us from the fear of man. When we're more afraid of God, we're a whole lot less afraid of what man can do. In Numbers 14 and verse 9, the Bible says, only rebel not against you, rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. The Lord is with us, fear them not. In Psalms 23, one of the great Psalms, you remember, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. When I have a greater respect and a greater reverence for God, I have a whole lot less fear of men. So be respectful, and having reverential fear of God, it's also seen as loving God, and it also sees God as a loving God and a forgiving God. He gives us that spirit of sonship where we're his children. And when you think of the father-child relationship, little bitty kids will just, they have no fear. They just run right up to daddy and they hold up their hands. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15 through 17, it talks about how we are the children of God. But in our text today, look at that, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, that spirit of love God talks about there takes away our fears. Take your Bible and go to 1 John chapter 4, then verse number 18. All the way in the back of the book, 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18. Listen to what the Bible reads. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. That's us. You know, that's why the Bible says we are invited to come boldly under the throne of grace. From when we realize how much God loves us, our fear melts away. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, come boldly under the throne of grace. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I understand there remains a parental fear. You know what I'm saying? Like a parent and a child has respect for their parents. And the Bible says in Romans 11, we're not to be high-minded, but to fear. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, in the respect and reverence that God is due. But I want to show you today how fear, it's destructive. In 2 Timothy 1:6, it says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Fear has a way of bringing forgetfulness to our life. Timothy became afraid. He was now the timid Timothy. Because he was afraid, he'd forgotten the assets and benefits that God had given him as a Christian. In Psalm 103, verse 1, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Because Timothy was gripped by fear. Now, I think it was fear from the fact of the persecution going on. Because in this chapter of 2 Timothy 1, Paul is writing to Timothy on death row. Paul is on death row and he writes to Timothy about his condition, and Timothy is aware of what Paul is going through. In Psalm 68, verse 19, the Lord said, it says, the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And when we're in trouble, when we're fearful, we will forget all that God has done for us, because our immediate circumstance and our fear of that that's going on will cause us to forget. A lot of times we're fearful of the what ifs in life. At any given moment, what if this happens? What if this takes place? What if this doesn't work? What if this doesn't happen? What if it doesn't come to pass? What if, what if, what if? And we are paralyzed. We forget that God is still in charge. Timothy had forgotten that he had a mentor in Paul. That's what verse 6 says. Timothy had also forgotten that he'd been raised in a Christian home. And Timothy was no longer effective for God because of the fear had brought forgetfulness in his life. Here's a man whose life was engulfed with fear. These were grounded in the fact that he was looking at the circumstances around him instead of the God who loved him. Fear also brings failure. Look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul was warning Timothy about his fear. In verse 8 it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Timothy no longer was bold or aggressive. He wasn't excited and a spirit-filled preacher like he once was. He was no longer that Christian who could go out and serve God with mighty power. Satan had intimidated him by his fear, and failure had come into his life. Do you remember the story I gave you a couple of weeks ago in Matthew 25, where the goodman, the owner of the house, gave to his three servants those talents? The one he gave five, the one he gave two, and the one he gave one. And the guy with five talents brought back five more, and the man said, well done. The man with two talents came back and said, here are two more, and he said, well done. But remember what the man said who had one talent in Matthew 25? He said, I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Fear had made that servant a failure. And I'm concerned that a lot of God's people today fail because the devil has hemmed them in with fear. Because you cannot serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit if you're constantly afraid of the problems in life and the uncertainties in life and what might happen or might not happen. Fear brings failure to the Christian life. See, Timothy, that's what he had said here. In verse number 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Timothy was ashamed. Timothy was no longer bold. He no longer had fire. He no longer had the power of God. He no longer was motivated. And when the devil brings that kind of fear in your life, you will bury your talent in the ground if you don't focus on the God who loves you and the benefits God has brought you in your life. You will be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. And that is exactly where Satan wants you to be. But not only does fear bring failure and forgetfulness, fear brings frailty. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, just go back a page, you're going to find 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. He talks about Timothy's often infirmities. Timothy was a sickly man. Now, I believe it was a sickness brought on by, yes, bad water, but also fear. Did you know that being afraid can cause you to be sick? Being afraid can cause illnesses in your life. Modern medicine will tell you that there is a connection between your emotional and physical health. Many people today are hospitalized who are physically ill because they're afraid of life. And fear is like sand. When sand gets into the gears and mechanisms of a machine, it binds it up. And I think fear is like sand in the life of a Christian. If we allow it in, it'll bind us up. It has very destructive power. Think about Adam. The very first words that Adam spoke after he sinned, recorded in Genesis 3, was, I was afraid. Sin brings fear. Now, faith is the oil of the machinery of life. Oil is what lubricates and makes things work. So in 2 Timothy 1, 7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit that torments us, that limits us, that puts us into bondage. Yet every day I receive phone calls from people who are afraid. Their fear of the past, their fear of the present, their fear of the future. And it has this destructive power that just makes them unusable in life. God wants us to be overcomers. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ. So that's why I want to talk to you about the dynamic power of faith. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but that means the spirit of power and of love, the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. It's a threefold blessing to overcoming the spirit of fear. God has given us his power. He didn't give us fear. He didn't want us in bondage. He didn't want us hemmed in or limited. In other words, there is a spirit out there that will bind you, that will cripple you, that will paralyze you, that will limit you and hem you in. But God's people isn't supposed to be under that spirit or to allow that spirit to grip your heart and bring disaster. You know, the real battle is in our mind. And when those fearful thoughts come into our mind, when we grab them and take hold of them and give them authority is what we do. We muse upon them rather than casting them down. When God's people allow the spirit of fear to grip their hearts, we have disaster. Think about Gideon, the story of Gideon. Remember, Gideon had amassed an army of 30,000 people. And so God had said, listen, you take them down to the water. He said, first of all the ones that are fearful can go home. 23,000 men went home. Gideon was down to 7,000. So then God says, oh, that's no, we still got a problem here. So he takes them down to the water and he tries them at the water there. And all that's left is 300 people. And what that tells me is God would rather have 300 people who are bold for him and believe him than to have 30,000 people who are afraid of the enemy. Fear always brings defeat. Then it says here in 2 Timothy 1:7, and the spirit of power is the Holy Ghost. And Paul reminds Timothy, don't forget that the spirit who dwells in you is the Holy Spirit of God. He is the spirit of power, the Holy Spirit power that raised up Christ from the dead, the same exact one. Don't you thank God for the Holy Spirit? I do. I thank God that we have the Holy Spirit because he dwells in us when we trust Christ as our Savior. He comforts us. He leads us and guides us into all truth. He discerns for us what is truth and what is error. He's my strength, my guide, my sustainer, my provider. He's all I need. And I'm thankful that there's someone inside me. See, remember in 1 John 4:4, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You can actually say that and make it personal. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you know what makes us afraid? What makes us fear is when we think our enemy is greater than we are. That's where the fear comes from. I think every one of us probably had a bully in school sometime in our school time, whether elementary, junior high, or high school. If you can think back and in your mind, you can think of a bully. If you can't think of a bully, that means you were probably the bully. But many of us, the majority of us, think back and we have a bully, somebody that made life terrible. The fact that that person made us to where we didn't even want to go to school. But you know, I remember that my brother David used to be at the same bus stop at the same time I was. David was 5 years older than I was. And whenever David and I rode the same bus or were at the same bus stop, nobody would bully me because I had a big brother who'd take care of me. Now, when David switched from junior high to high school, he started riding a different bus and he wasn't there to protect us. And in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give them life. There is a bully out there that roams the earth. 1 Peter 5:8 says, but be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. There is a bully out there, and he tries to bully you. But there is one who lives inside you who's stronger than any bully. See, that's where our fear comes from. Our fear comes from the fact that we don't realize the one that lives inside us is more powerful than any adversary we have. 1 Peter 5:9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You're not the only one who faces these things. You're not called upon to defeat the devil. You're just called to resist him. Resist those thoughts of fear that come into your mind that make you fearful. Cast them down. Do not give them authority, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. He has made it his, listen, the devil has made it his mission to harass saints, to intimidate saints, to make saints feel small and insignificant, to make saints of God feel weak and insignificant. But there is one in you that is greater, greater than even a big brother. And he's the Holy Spirit of God. You can rely on him as you confess your sin, as you keep your vessel clean, as you let him fill your life moment by moment, day by day. God has given you the Spirit of power, the mightiest power in the world. The power that raised Jesus from the grave is the one that is in you. How is it that we've let the devil and this world tell us that they are more powerful than the one who lives in us? Number two, God has given us his love. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, the spirit of and of love. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of the love of God. Now, you might not expect that to be a strengthening force, but there is no greater force in your life than the loving God who shed his blood for you, whose heart you are on. In 1 John 4:18, the Bible says, fear hath torment, but perfect love casteth out all fear. When we realize how much we're actually loved by the God of love, our fears will melt away. You ever been afraid to go to a job interview? You ever been afraid of what somebody was going to say? Or maybe you've been afraid to face a certain situation or afraid of an uncertain future? Then you understand how fear has torment and how it torments you. Torment means to limit or to restrict or to bind, and fear will bind you. Fear will bind an entire church. Fear will keep a church from becoming what it's supposed to become in Christ. Fear will keep a believer from being bold, from witnessing, from serving, from being the believer God intended them to be. That's what fear will do. In 1 John 4:18, it says, perfect love casteth out fear. You never fear the one who loves you perfectly. I'm talking about God's love for you. I'm not talking about your love for God. I'm talking about the God who loves you. In 1 John 4:10, the Bible says, herein is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. He loved us so much, he sent his own son to be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. In verse 11 of 1 John 4, it says, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. That's what 1 John 4 says. In 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. That means mature in love. God doesn't want us to think about fear, but to think about our trust in him. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. A mature believer trusts God in perilous and difficult times. And I believe God allows perilous and difficult times so that, just like in the Old Testament, he could get Israel's attention. And I believe God allows these things. Many people have said, where's God in this COVID virus? Where is God? Why did God do this? God didn't do this. Sin, man's sin corrupted this earth. That's what did this. And it is the sinful human heart that Satan uses to propagate all evil on this planet. Well, then why did God allow it? You know, when we love God, we keep his commandments. And we keep his commandments because he first loved us. And if you're saved, you need to trust him by faith. If you're not saved, excuse me, you need to trust him by faith. But if you are saved, you still need to trust God. Your faith will help you overcome the world. That's what the Bible teaches us. In 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, when you and I realize how much God cares, when you and I realize how much he loves us, and it destroys the power of fear in your life. You're not afraid because you know you have someone as strong as God, as powerful as God, who loves you like God does in your life. Did you ever have a security blanket as a child? I mean, many children had a special blanket. My children, my wife made a special blanket for all four of them when they were little. We still have a few of those, don't we? We have this one that was Bob the Tomato from VeggieTales, called the Bob Blanket. It was one of my boys' security blankets. And children carry them everywhere, kind of like Linus on the Peanuts comic strip always has a blanket. They carry them until you're almost to the point where you're embarrassed. When I was a youth pastor, I had teenagers who were still carrying a blanket to camp with them. It's this little frilly thing that was falling apart, and they'd had it so long, and they won't even let you wash it because it just gets more and more tattered. But the truth is, somehow the warmth of that blanket, the security of that blanket, just having it there, just putting it around them, clutching it ever so tightly, makes them feel secure. Do you realize that you have a security blanket as a child of God? And that security blanket is the love of God. God just takes His love and wraps it around you. And as a believer, He enfolds you in His love. And He didn't give you the spirit of fear. He gave you the spirit of power and the spirit of His love. You've been endued. You've been empowered. You've been engraced with God's love. If you look here again in 2 Timothy 1:7, not only has He given us the spirit, His power and His love, He's given us His mind. 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Have you ever had a nightmare? You know what I mean? You wake up and you think there's a monster coming in your room. You think that something is about to get you, and you scream and you wake up and you're scared, and maybe your mother came in and turned on the light and she goes, "Did you have a bad dream?" And you're like, "Yes, there's a..." And then you point and it turns out to be clothes you hung on a doorknob or clothes you left hanging over a chair. And that's why I got rid of the workout equipment in my room, because all we were doing is hanging clothes on it. And it scared me when I'd wake up and see this form at night. I'd be like, "What is, who's somebody in my room?" You know, the truth is, it isn't until the light comes on. But that's the way Satan works. That is the way Satan works. Fear, F-E-A-R, is a good acrostic for false evidence appearing real. Think of that acrostic, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. The devil makes what he wants you to believe look so real and so scary and so foreboding that it grips you with fear. The emotions you experience, they're real. The fear that you experience is very real. Now, there's three kinds of people in this world. There are those that are afraid. There are those that are too ignorant to be afraid. And then there's people who know their Bible. And when you read God's word, it's like God turns the light on, and we can now see things as they are. That's why we know when the Bible says, "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Because that is really how it is. You have the victory through Christ. See, what the devil is doing is he wants to make false things look real in the darkness. But when you read the light of God's word, he's flipped it on. You can now see it, and it's not scary anymore. See, that's what God's word is about. Reality is not how you feel about something. That doesn't make it reality. Reality is not how you perceive something. Reality is what God says about something. Do you understand? Reality is not how you feel about a certain thing, because there's some who like it and some who don't. Reality is not how you perceive it, because not everybody sees things from your point of view. Reality is how God says it is. Our lives are to be, I know it's right now, our lives are being turned upside down. Even in Kenya, as we saw on the iPad, even in Kenya, even in Romania and other parts of the world is being turned upside down. Our economy is out of control. Businesses and schools are shut down. Our president, God bless him, is on TV every day trying to tell people about what's going on, and more people are infected and more people are passing away. Jobs are in jeopardy, and we're told to be separated socially. And that's when the devil can pick us off, because we're not connected. We find it easier to just not be connected. Drastic measures are being put in place in our country and others, and even more drastic measures are on their way. Many churches have canceled their services. Isn't it interesting how we as a species, as humankind, think we're so advanced, so educated, so I can be in rebellion against God because I am so advanced. And then God shows up and shows who's actually in control. And in a matter of hours or days, things are taken away you never dreamed could be taken away. Looks like more perilous times are coming. That's what the Bible tells us. So what are we to think as Christians? What is it that we are to know in our soul that takes away the power of fear? Go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. Look what the Bible says in Romans 8, 37. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. When you read over what came before, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Shall those things conquer us? No, we're still more than conquerors. Persecution? No, we're still more than conquerors. Famine or nakedness? Or peril, or sword, whether we live or die. The reality is, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is real. This is the truth of God. This is actually how it is, not how the devil wants you to see it. This is reality. You are more than conquerors. The Bible says if we've committed our life to Christ, you go back to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, it says, he is able. Did you see that there in verse 12? He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. The only thing that you truly have, the only thing that you cannot have taken away, it's true. Your home can be taken. Your job can be taken. Your family can be taken. Your health can be taken. Your possessions can be taken. Your money can be taken. But the only thing that cannot be taken from you is the one thing so few people put any effort into. And that's your intimate, personal walk with God. Nobody can take away your relationship with God. Some of the greatest Christians that ever lived through the persecution of the Nazis in Germany. The degradation, the inhumanity, the humiliation, the physical torture. But the one thing they could not be robbed of was their relationship with God. Right now, you need to make your relationship with God real. Not just academic, but real. Every day, you need to be asking God questions like, is there any sin in my life that's standing between you and I? Is there any sin that's keeping you and I from fellowshipping? And whatever God brings to mind, don't justify it. Repent of it. Confess it. Then spend time in your Bible. Learn to ask God questions. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you. Let him become more precious to you than the things of this world. Let him open the word to you rather than you just open the word. Since your relationship with God cannot be taken away, how about we develop it? Make it our deep and passionate effort. Trusting God, not just for a moment, but for the next moment and the next moment. Instead of panicking, whenever fear comes up, we turn it over to God. I'm more than conquerors through him that loved me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The greatest weapon against fear is to have Christ on the throne of your life. You don't have to fear man. You don't have to fear the devil. You don't have to fear the future. You don't have to fear the uncertain present we live in. In 2 Timothy 1:12, look what Paul said to Timothy. Now remember, Paul is in prison. Paul is on death row. There is no reprieve. He is going to die. Look what he says. I know whom I have believed. My faith is not in me. My faith is not in the courthouse or the schoolhouse or the congressional house or the White House. He didn't say, I know in whom I believe either. He said, I know whom I believe. I know his character. I know he's dependable. I know his faithfulness. I know he will do what he said he would do. I know his promises. I know whom I have believed. And a lot of people that I talk to that are living in fear, they know about God. They know the academics about God, the raw information, but they don't know him Kind of like you may know the batting average of your favorite baseball player. You may know the winning seasonal stats of your favorite NBA or football player. You may know all the music of your favorite singer or artist or maybe your favorite actor or actress, but you don't actually know them. You can know all about God, but do you know Him? Knowing about God's not going to take the fear away. Knowing about God isn't going to unbind the power of Satan in your life. Do you understand? It's knowing God. Because the closer you get to God, that means the devil has to get closer to God to get closer to you. That's why he said just resist. He didn't say defeat the devil. But as you draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to you. And if Satan's going to keep his hands on you, he's got to get closer to God. And that is not something he wants to do. You want to break the power of fear in your life, you need to draw closer to God, not draw away from him. Paul said to Timothy, the reason I'm not afraid, though I'm in this prison cell, even though I'm not afraid or even ashamed, although I'm going to face the executioner's axe, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. You know, my faith is not in my power. My faith is not in my politics, and my faith is not in my paycheck. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. That's a heart change. That's an understanding that has dwelt in every cell of my being. I am persuaded, fully convinced. And some would say, well, I know him, Pastor, but I still have some doubts. What you're saying is you know God, but there's fear in your heart. You need to come to know him in a fuller way. That takes the word of God, prayer, and faith. Then you can say like Paul, I'm persuaded. I know that I know that I know that he is able. God is able. God knows where I am. God knows what's going on. And God knows how to take care of me. He is able. If you don't know Jesus, you're not going to know peace. But to know Jesus is to know peace. And the only key to the certainty of our future is the fact that we have victory in Christ. Victory over fear, victory over the uncertainties of life. It's to know Jesus Christ. It's to commit our life to Christ, to commit your destiny, your future, and your present, and your problems. They need to be committed to Him. Be the vessel God can use today. And tomorrow, get up and be the vessel God can use today. To that day. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you if you're living in a way where your life is without real faith or real trust. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal where you are living without real faith. Ask Him to show you where you're living in sin. And the truth is, all of us really know. The majority of us, I'd be shocked. I've never met anybody who truly in their soul didn't know where their sin was. We all do. So ask the Holy Spirit to reveal how you're allowing selfishness and carnality to rule your life instead of the Holy Spirit of God. Because that which is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says. That which is of flesh is not of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to forgive you for not trusting Him when things look bad. Be all you can for Him today. It's the one thing, it's the one area of our life that we need to develop more than anything else. I'm for education, I'm for technical training, I'm for learning new things. But that one area of knowing and developing my relationship with God will do more good for me than anything else. If we'll serve God and live with humility, joy, and peace, I want you to encourage you today to make Christ real in your life. It is the most important choice you'll make. If you're watching me right now on the internet and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what does that mean? If you died today and you're not sure heaven's your home, if you died today and you're not sure you'd wake up in glory because you're trusting in your infant baptism, your church membership, your first Holy Communion, a catechism, if you're trusting in something you did, I'm sorry. The Bible says that you'll not see heaven. It's only knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Christian, you're suffering from fear today. Do you understand how much God loves you? When you realize how much God loves you, perfect love casts out fear. At this time, we're going to take a time and have a moment of prayer. Mrs. Mix is going to make her way to the piano and play. I'm going to pray for you right now. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to take a moment and pray with me. My God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner. I know that if I died right now, I'd go to hell because sin has a cost. But I know that Jesus died on the cross. He shed his blood for me and for all humanity. But more importantly today, I know he died in my place. I am trusting you to save me. I am calling upon you, as the Bible says, please forgive me. I believe. Thank you. Thank you for receiving me and saving me in Jesus' name. Christian, you're listening. You're paying attention right now. You're watching. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, but God does. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the man who holds tomorrow, and that's Christ. He is dwelling within you right now. Seek his comfort. Seek his care. Seek his provision. Sin definitely turns his face away, but you've not lost your relationship. Take a moment and be clean, be right with the Lord, and God will bless you. As she plays and sings, let us take a time and seek the Lord. Make your relationship real. Not just academic, but real today. As she plays.
Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Our Father and our God, we love you, and we are thankful for this opportunity to gather here and on the internet. And we pray, Father, that you'd bless each and every person that sees this video. We pray, God, that each person watching right now, God, you'd hedge them in and around as you did Job. I ask, God, that you'd protect them. I ask, God, that you would heal them. I ask, God, that you'd remove the fear and that your spirit of power, love, and a sound mind would be theirs today to claim, to receive, to enjoy. Empower us, O God, by thy grace, and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way.